Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know LaRusso showed Miguel Top Gun?
Oof, I love that movie. Tom Cruise is so handsome.
Cruise is the worst than that. Here you got the real deal, Iceman, best of the best, abs for days. In comes this new guy, total dweeb. Calls himself a maverick. Can't call yourself a maverick. Guy didn't even earn a spot at Miramar. Got his wingman killed too, not cool.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 3 and 4, Then Learn Fly and Bicephaly.
I love that Then Learn Fly. We find out what that means.
Yeah.
Jump between two buildings.
Yeah. With only a mattress to fall on.
Dude. Yeah, like three meager mattresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the dumbest training exercise we've seen so far.
Right. But you can't be afraid.
Yeah.
You got to attack a situation.
No show weakness.
All right. Let's get into it. Cobra Kai, Season 4, Episode 3 and 4, Then Learn Fly, Bicephaly. How'd you like it, Rima?
I really liked it. These I thought were two strong episodes. There was, I think, some real good setup, which is good because we're getting to that halfway point. I was just talking to Rich about that just a moment ago that, you know, we're kind of coming into the halfway. Yeah, I know. Like, wow, already. I guess it's because we cover, you know, two episodes a week. But, you know, it's time to kind of start moving that story forward and the plot forward and see what happens. And so there was some really good setup to get that movement going. So I thought they were great episodes. There was some great relationship building, team building, and some good plot movement.
It really hurt where we had to end this time.
I know.
That was the backyard. Painful. Oh, that was painful. I was like, oh my gosh, can I please just watch the next one?
That was a 35-year cliffhanger.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you like too, Rich?
Yeah, I noticed the same thing, actually. Like, my top three today were all characters, like all character-based.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, well, I don't know if that's ever happened before. That's pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah, on first watch, I liked it. I didn't like it quite as much as the first two, which I thought were just really exceptional, but I did like it. And then on second watch, when I got more into like the themes, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, they're so fucking clever, these writers. Like, I hear people just don't realize because it's a funny show, but it's smart too, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, totally.
It feels like they're able to do everything they write, you know, like, you know, they don't change it like on the spot or anything like that. It's all planned out and it all works out perfectly.
Yeah.
It's all super
smart. It's
like
a puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of shows and movies get convoluted. Everyone's got to have their little hand in the cookie jar and then it ends up being a weird movie or whatever.
Yeah. I think they got these two guys, is it two or three, that are running the show?
Showrunners,
yeah, they just know.
There's two, yeah, the two main ones, and then the third one. They're all kind of very collaborative.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
they're good. Okay, let's get into our points, Rima. What do you got?
Well, I'm gonna start off, as I mentioned, one of the things that I enjoyed about these two episodes is some of that relationship focus in the relationship building. And I thought what was kind of interesting is kind of this, the switch that we have. So some of the new relationships that we got in the third episode that I really liked was we had Danny and Miguel. Daniel. Sorry, mm-hmm. I called him Danny. I'm not really sure why I said Danny. But Daniel and Miguel, which we haven't got to see a whole lot of one-on-one with them. I mean, they've been in scenes together. They've had interactions, but they had some one-on-one time.
They've mostly not liked each other. Well, at least Daniel hasn't liked Miguel.
Yeah, it's been kind of awkward, you know, with them. We had Johnny and Sam, which I thought was fun. And then Robbie and Kenny. But for this point, I wanted to talk specifically about Daniel and Miguel, because as I mentioned, we haven't really seen a whole lot of like one-on-one interaction with them. And like you said, Jason, it hasn't always been great. In season one, you know, Sam didn't want to really have Miguel around a whole lot because at the time he was a Cobra Kai student. You know, and of course, Daniel's sensitive to that, so she didn't really bring him around a lot.
It's like if she was dating a Nazi for Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely triggering for him. I mean, if you go back, it was, you know, anytime Cobra Kai was mentioned, he was triggered, you know, kind of heavily about that. So definitely, you know, oh, by the way, Dad, you know, kind of dating a Cobra Kai student. Right. That would have not went over very well. And then season two, you know, Daniel thought that Miguel was kind of more of a bully, you know, and kind of turning into like Johnny.
Yeah,
he kind of was. He definitely did. So, you know, that didn't go over very well. And there wasn't really a whole lot of like between them. But in season three, they did have a more meaningful conversation, you know, when Daniel, you know, kind of opened up and shared his experience of what happened during Karate Kid, the first movie. And they ended up on good terms. So it kind of, I think, kind of laid the groundwork for what we have in this episode, where we kind of see now Daniel, you know, kind of becoming more of a mentor, you know, to Miguel.
Yeah.
So I really liked that. And I felt bad for Miguel, too. I really felt empathy for him because, you know, he doesn't really feel like he's good enough to be with Sam. And he's, you know, trying to show that he is the type of guy Sam would be proud to date. You know, you can see how he's kind of struggling. You know, he spills the wine on Daniel. He falls in the pond. And, you know, you feel bad for him. And then when his mom's car breaks down and Daniel helps him, you know, and he has Miguel do the work, which I really liked. I liked that he's like, you know, you're going to do it. And I liked when Daniel, you know, tells him that, you know, he's like, hey, I didn't go to college. You know, I blew my money, you know, on a trip to Okinawa. And then his prize money, you know, he blew it on, you know, the bonsai tree store that he had for, or that he opened up for Mr. Miyagi. And, you know, kind of let him see, you know, like he's capable of doing the same thing, you know, that he didn't start from much either. But he accomplished a lot. So I really like that. I like that whole, you know, relationship building between those two.
It's a good point. They did have a lot of financial talk in this episode, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. They kind of interjected that, yeah, you know, to add one more difference between Miguel and Sam. One's wealthy, one's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even going back to Karate Kid, it was a whole thing about how Allie was friends with Johnny, and all those kids are like preppy kids, and they have cool cars, and he didn't have a cool car, and they had a couple lines in there. Oh, is it because I don't have a cool car? And because he got Miyagi's car and he wanted to show it off, and she's like, no, that doesn't have anything to do with it. But yeah, so that theme of coming from wealth or not has been there from the beginning,
right?
And kind of flipped with Cobra Kai, where Daniel's made something of himself and Johnny's down and out.
That's another good example too of how the writers are well balanced. You know, they kind of introduce that drama of the financial differences at the dinner table, but then later on Daniel explains all of his financial missteps in the past, you know, and says, yeah, it's all circular. It'll come back around and you'll be fine. You have a good head on your shoulders.
Yep.
It's easy to say when you're wealthy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish, and maybe we'll get that later, kind of a backstory of how they started the car dealership, knowing that Daniel, you know, didn't have just like a bucket of money to put into that, you know, like wonder how he got that started.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a good point. They talked about that too.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about Miguel and Daniel hanging out, I just loved. And I mean, it's great that, because that's one thing from the very beginning, you know, I've always felt more connected with Daniel. I love Karate Kid. I feel more like in common with him, Underdog and Nice Kid and everything, even though he can be some kind, he can be a hothead sometimes, I admit, but so can I guess. But anyway, Miguel kind of reminded me of Daniel in the way that he came across, you know, he's more of a Daniel than a Johnny, especially at first there. So it was like, ah, oh, it's such a bummer that they don't connect because I think they could really get along. And yeah. Now they are. And it's kind of neat that they made us wait that long, because then when it does happen, at least for me anyway, because I've been wanting that to happen, it's more like, oh, finally, you know, you get that.
It did
like,
seem cool. Inevitable, huh? And now it's it's hard to see Johnny's face. You know, it's like, oh, yeah.
I feel bad for Johnny. Of course.
I know. Yeah, we, totally. Yeah.
I mean, but I also feel like, Johnny, just take it easy. It's fine. Don't do anything stupid and cause more problems than if you just chill out, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's good for Miguel to get both sides.
Yeah. And he still cares about Johnny, and he's going to come over the next night for his manly sloppy joes. But I also thought, yes, because I've been more like letting go of my need for Daniel to be the hero on this show, because I love that everyone's flawed and it's presents a gray area of you like we talk about. And I think in the first two episodes in particular, you saw Daniel just being kind of a jerk in parts, but there, he had some of his... He was at some of his best here, like where he's the wine. Miguel spills the wine on him. He's like, it's no problem. It's just wine.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or when he like offers to have his car, his mom's car towed. And Miguel's like, no. And he goes, it's fine. That's what I do. Don't worry about it. You can tell Daniel's like not trying to get anything from him. He's just being a cool guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. For a change.
Yeah, for a change.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not perfect in these two episodes either, but he had some good moments.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich.
Oh, let's talk about Sam. She is my least favorite character. It's official. These last two episodes, right? In the past seasons, she has been divisive and a protagonist, you know, who kind of drives the plot, blah blah blah, her drama queen, bad decision making. And when she told Johnny, I think it was in the episode when he was trying to get them to jump over the building, she like snapped at him and like said, you're a 50 something year old man who lives alone, drinks all day, and clearly hasn't figured out his own life. I was like, ouch.
Yeah. That was a good punch.
I know. Yep. And it was after, I'm glad that he called her out on when her and her friends crashed his car into his car and then left, even though she wasn't back. Driving. Mm-hmm. She was still there and could have argued against that. And then showing up drunk with Robbie at his place when Daniel came over and kicked the door in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was good of him to call her out on that.
Yeah, totally. And I was, that's when it kind of hit me. I was like, I immediately thought about Sam and Tori. They're like pretty much the same person, you know, other than Sam has a caring family that kind of keeps her on track and Tori doesn't. I mean, like at the kids' party, it was like watching a mirror image of those two people, you know, of the same person going back and forth with insults and bullying. And Sam was, you know, really letting it fly. Even Amanda, even her mom was like, oh, sorry for my daughter's behavior. I think Sam is going to be the one that turns Miyagi Fang into a dumpster fire. I mean, I think it's all going to fall apart because of her. I mean, if Johnny and Sam strike up a relationship and they introduce Johnny's aggressiveness and weirdo-ism into all of this, you know, we're headed for some serious drama, I think.
So like how like Miguel's kind of, you know, leaning a little bit more towards Daniel. And do you think Sam will kind of lean a little more towards Johnny and take his influence a little more?
Seems like the direction they're taking it, but you never know again.
Yeah, yeah.
She's totally. Kind of, she does a lot of random stuff too.
I've noticed this season that she just has a scowl on her face a lot of the times.
Yeah.
She just seems angry, kind of like Tori, like you're saying, similar.
Yeah. They're like one and the same person, just one's more... had more control, and now I think she's losing it a little bit.
Yeah, but
Johnny might be the, you know, might help her lose it even more
or kill her. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I also can't forget that Tori pretty much tried to kill Sam, and she had a freaking, what was it, like brass knuckles or whatever.
Right.
And she was like, I'm coming to get you, bitch, over the loudspeaker. And then she broke into her house and tore it up. So here we have Sam kind of poking fun at Tori, which maybe is not too smart, but it's nowhere near as bad as what Tori's done to Sam, in my opinion.
Well, and that's the thing I'm saying is that, you know, she's had her father and her mother to help her make sense of all this and to keep calm and stay on the right path. But if she decides to do whatever, the opposite of whatever daddy says to do, or mommy, then she might become.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Johnny was like. That's, are you always going to do what your parents tell you to do? Aren't you going to like push and kind of do your own thing a little bit? And that's, you know, when she makes that jump. So
fucked up, dude. Like, I totally get, like, because his whole thing about my parents wanted me to be a boring businessman, but now I get to do what I want. And yes, you have to differentiate yourself at some point, and as a teenager especially. But when you're given that speech while you're trying to get a girl to jump like 10 feet over, and if she had died or something, and even though she made it, if I was Daniel and I found out Johnny did that, the partnership would be over.
Yeah.
Right then and there. That's it. You're out of here.
No, that might happen too, huh?
Yeah, he might. If he finds out and he's not, it just seem ridiculous to me if he's not like, okay, you're not teaching my kids anymore. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, Johnny would be like, well, she just wasn't worthy. Sorry.
She just wasn't born to fly. So, well, and I'm curious, I mean, because you're right, Sam just seems pretty moody, and I couldn't quite figure it out. I don't know, and maybe it'll like develop and come out a little bit more, because we still have a handful of episodes to go, so maybe we'll learn more, and we just haven't answered the question yet. But she seems a lot more moody, like when they were sitting at the dinner table, and Miguel had spilled the wine on Daniel, and she's just kind of like, got her eyes cast down, and she's frowning, and you know, she was, you know, moody when they were on top of the roof before she jumped, and she's just, you know, because they're all like, well, we're not going anywhere until somebody does it, but she's just like frowning the whole time. Then she snaps at Johnny. I'm not really sure I'm not sure what to make of her mood and why she's acting like that, and why she was like
definitely making me nervous, that's for sure.
Yeah
I don't get a good feeling from her either. I don't think she's very likable right now. But I still just keep thinking, yeah, if someone did to me what Tori did, I wouldn't be nice to them either. I probably wouldn't want to go provoking them, but
totally.
I wouldn't be poking the bear. Shit, I'd probably leave town.
Trying to think, yeah, if just anybody like
hide at home.
Ever bullied me.
Avoiding
like that
conflict
in school.
Sometimes is the wisest thing you can do.
No, be there.
No, be there, yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So I guess I'll do my point that's sort of related to all this, which is that I like these two episodes were especially focused on the theme of father figures influencing and supporting kids or not sometimes. And that's one of the reasons why I like the Karate Kid movies so much. Doing this podcast has helped me realize that even more, that because I didn't have a strong father figure. And so that's another reason why I felt so connected with Daniel. And then he got Miyagi as a father figure, and I just really love that. And now I'm feeling more connected with Johnny because we're learning his father left him and then he got Sid, you know? That's right. Kind of what I got, Sid.
Yeah, we're still getting some backstory there, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. Daniel and Johnny both had single mothers and Ed Asner died. So we're not going to get any more Sid flashbacks. It's too bad because he's great.
Yeah.
And also it's just too bad that he died. But that whole scene with Johnny where he saved his father's things. The only thing I saw in there was a crushed beer can.
We see where Johnny gets his taste for Coors Banquet.
Right.
In that flashback.
And they said his dad left him and his mom. I can't remember if we knew that before, but anyway, he got Sid, who was an unsupportive asshole. And so, yeah, when he's telling Samantha, you know, I figured out one thing for sure. If I did everything my parents wanted me to do, I'd be wearing a suit and tie and being a worthless job. And so I guess since Johnny didn't have a supportive father, his point to Sam is sometimes you need to ignore your parents. And Miguel, he never knew his dad. He mentions again, they've sort of hinted that his father got caught up in something illegal and his mom tried to get him to stop, but wouldn't. So she left and tried to start a new life with Miguel. He says that she told him his real father's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Before this season premiered, our friend Ben, who guested last season, said he thinks Terry Silver is Miguel's father.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And Ben knows for sure now because he's watched the rest of the season, but we don't know. Maybe you guys listening know. But I think it's maybe a possibility. I mean, Carmen could have lied about him being in Mexico. You know, we know Terry Silver has done illegal things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got involved in something illegal, dumping toxic sludge. Daniel taking Miguel under his wing. He taught him to fix cars, which I think is super cool. It's another personal thing, but one of my stepfathers, who was more like Sid, did fix cars a lot. And so I always had a negative feeling about that and never learned. But, you know, I wish I had now. That would have been cool. And I think it was really nice of Daniel to do that. Then, you know, he says, I didn't have a dad to teach me to drive. Daniel says, but lucky I met Mr. Miyagi. He made me realize that just because I didn't have a dad, that didn't mean there wasn't someone who could fit that role, which is kind of what this series is all about. Just adults influencing kids for the better or for the worse sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when Johnny, you know, Johnny's afraid of losing Miguel to Daniel. And when they decided to switch students, which I thought was really fun, Johnny says to Miguel, make sure all that defense doesn't turn you into a cream puff. And then Miguel comes back talking about Peter Cetera.
Hey.
I know. Of all the things that happened to Johnny, that was like the worst.
Yeah, like, what's going on over there?
Peter Cetera's a badass. Like,
what?
Peter Cetera is the opposite of a badass. let's see. Now, the whole thing about Daniel teaching Cobra Kai students, his lesson is, you know, what to do if your opponent is faster than you. I thought that was kind of a dumb lesson, too, actually.
Catching the fish, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's about going in a circular motion. Like, he also said to Miguel later, you know, sometimes you don't go in a straight path and you don't do what your opponent expects you to do. So somehow, I guess, it was saying that they were tricking the fish. I don't know. And then I also felt bad for the fish.
Yeah, Miguel looked like he was really squeezing that fish too. I'm like, dude, loosen that grip.
It's coming out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the thing we were talking about before is some kids born into wealth and sometimes not. Daniel mentions his mom brought him out to California looking for a better life, which I'm glad he can appreciate that now because he sure didn't at the time. And it also reminds me of my own mom. But Miguel gets straight A's, but his mom says they can't afford for him to go to Stanford. And Daniel's telling, meanwhile, his daughter, you know, you can go wherever you want to go because he's pretty well off. And then even Terry, his story of, you know, his father wanted him to take over his company or else he wouldn't get his inheritance. That fits in here too. Mm-hmm. Terry Silver.
That's right.
But we don't know what happened with that because I think he turned his father down and yet he still made money. Maybe he did it all on his own. Who knows? Hopefully we'll find out his backstory.
A lot of daddy issues here.
I know. But that's, I don't know. I don't really have any cohesive theme there, but it's just clear that, yeah, it's really on their minds about fathers and sons and father figures and people who came from different backgrounds and how that impacted their lives and things like that.
Right.
Yep. That's a theme.
Okay, Rima.
Well, my number two actually goes a line in with your point that you just had, and that's the surrogate relationships that are a theme of Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. You know, Miyagi and Daniel, Johnny Miguel, Robbie and Daniel, you know, early on. Mm-hmm. And now I think I'm starting to see another one developing that I'm really interested in, and that's Tori and Amanda.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At least I think anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I like that Amanda developed some empathy for Tori. You know, she reached out to her, in the, one of the first two episodes that we covered, you know, when she, you know, kind of learned Tori's, background a little bit and, you know, felt bad that she played a part in her. Now, of course, I feel like Tori, you know, kind of blew that out of proportion and got herself kind of fired. But, you know, Amanda kind of being there and being like the trigger. Yeah. I know she felt bad for her and she, you know, took some groceries.
I mean, she did go
to her
job and confront her at her job.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't great. Tori definitely, you know, but, you know, she's got to own that a little bit too, her reaction for it. But, you know, I thought it was cool that she reached out to her. There at the birthday party, you know, saying that, you know, I think you'd be surprised, you know, that if you ask for help, you know, that you might get it. I know I'm just kind of paraphrasing. That's not an exact quote.
You might be surprised or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, you know, if you just ask for some help, what might happen. And, you know, so I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, Tori looked kind of open to that a little bit. I'm interested to see if she'll like take her up on that offer and where that will go and how that might change Tori a little bit if she does have, and I know that she has a mom, but it, you know, it sounds like she's, you know, Tori's kind of on her own doing a lot of things because her mom is sick. And Tori's more being the parent and not the kid. You know, she's not really able to be a kid. So I'm curious to see how, you know, if she has like a strong female influence in her life, how that might change her a little bit. And I do like that Amanda has, you know, that they're not quite sweeping under the rug what Tori did and how she went after Sam multiple times, you know, and tried
Amanda
to murder
said,
her.
You know, because of what you did to her, you can't blame her for.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you can't really fault Sam for getting back at you with, you know, sloppy Miguel kisses and glitter bombs, you know. And like you said, Jason, it's not, I mean, that's, you know, is it right of Sam to be lashing right back out? No, but it's far
maybe not
less.
Smart, but yeah.
Yeah, not smart. And it's not as bad as like what Tori has done. I mean, and I can't blame her for doing it either, but I know she doesn't exonerate that behavior either. But I like how they're not just quite sweeping under the rug. Like we know Tori's done some bad things. But I think Amanda, you know, can kind of understand a little bit now where she's coming from and, you know, letting her know it's okay to maybe ask for some help. You know, she doesn't have to do it all on her own.
They played that scene, I really liked too, because Tori is just so angry all the time, and she really lashed out at Amanda, and Amanda looked like, okay, sorry, like, don't hit me, but she looks like, God, I'm just trying to help, you know, that vibe was there, like, she really wants to help, but I didn't think Tori looked open to it at all. Maybe I need to go back and look, but to me, she just looked like, fucking leave me alone.
I just felt like a very split second there when she was turning away. I just thought I saw a little glimmer of like where she's like, you know, like she's maybe considering it now, whether or not she'll do it or not. I don't know. She's Tori, you know, and she is angry. And I don't know if it's really a soft spot or I just feel like I have a little bit of understanding of Tori and why she I don't, like I said, it's not an excuse. All of her behavior, there's no excuse for her behavior based on how she's grown up and the challenges that she's had in life. But, you know, I get the anger part of it, not the acting out and trying to murder anyone at school or anything. But, you know, having similar backgrounds and, you know, just things that have happened in my life and kind of like in the same kind of time frame of, you know, where Tori's at in her life, you know, I kind of get that anger. I was an angry kid for a little while due to things that happened in my life and probably didn't always make the best choices either. So, So I kind of get that.
Yeah, and then throw in some Cobra Kai, and she's like a loaded weapon, man.
Totally.
Gotta handle with care.
Yeah, influence goes a long way with kids of that age, you know? Mm-hmm. Impressionable.
If Amanda means it, that she should go help. But that's awesome. But I don't think Amanda should try to help her. That's just opening the door to evil stuff, I think.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's going to get caught in between Amanda and Sam.
Oh.
If she tries to go back and forth between the two.
So you don't think any of these adults should be helping?
No. If she means it to go get help, to reach out and ask someone for help, just don't reach out and ask me.
No, I think she wants to help her.
Yeah, I know, but
you don't think she should.
In the show, that's going to be great. I'm saying in real life, you should do that.
Because that kind of stuff happens in the show all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would be kind of surprised if this doesn't go anywhere, actually. I hadn't thought about it too much, but you brought it up twice now, and I think you're probably right, Rima, that it's going to be a storyline.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah, another dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
How about little Kenny? What's going on with that dude?
Yeah.
Not sure.
To stay on the mat. Jeez.
Totally.
That's why I'm like, what the hell? Dude. What's he bringing to the show? Being a coward, I guess? He's shown as a coward. He's getting hazed, right? As Miguel points out, because he's the newbie. Just take it, move on. You'll gain your respect. I mean, is this all a callback to like what happened with Hawk? What's Kenny's purpose? Is he there? There's already so many characters in the show.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
The kid. Oh, Jason, when you said earlier that Daniel mentioned, what if your opponent is faster than you at the beginning of the episode, right? Well, somebody pointed out that Kenny's fast.
Kenny's fast.
So I was like, okay. Well,
so you just have to run around him, a circle around him.
Yeah, you got run circles around him.
You handle Kenny. Yeah. Everybody surround him.
You do the move that you wouldn't expect, which is, I guess, like, what would you least expect in karate? Open up your groin area. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That'll trick him.
I'm interested to see what part Kenny plays. I mean, maybe he's the red herring that's going to screw up everything at the at the tournament. You know,
maybe.
I mean, I
don't know either.
I like the kid. I did get a little frustrated that he kept running off the mat and looked so scared. But I like the kid. He's got some magnetism about him, and I really like the scenes with Robbie and Kenny. So that was
cool. That's another thing too. I thought of is that maybe he's like a vehicle for Robbie.
Yeah,
to turn back to the light side, so to speak. Because he's gonna start teaching this kid Cobra Kai. He's gonna go out and become an asshole, right? And then Robbie can be like, "Oh my God, look what I've done."
But Robbie's doing. I think he's doing pretty good right now. I mean. Totally reminds me, I think you're going to talk about the stream, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but the dynamic between them is just like with Miyagi and Daniel. Daniel's getting bullied. He goes to a mentor to get trained in karate.
Yeah.
To take care of it.
Hey, we were talking about earlier about how adults influence kids too, and I can kind of see this as a teacher where this might be a social commentary here on the power and responsibility a teacher has, you know? You got to be careful what you teach kids to do.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, like, you don't need to go into details, but have you ever been like, oh, why did I say that? That's not going to be good for that kid. Really?
Lots of times. I'll say something off the cuff it's not even what you say most of the time. It's even your facial expression or your body language or your tone of voice. And the kids come back and say, what did you mean when you said this? Or why did you say that? You know, do you remember when you said that? And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry about that.
Just forget about that. Expunged from the record.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody else.
Or I'll crush you.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Rich is a teacher, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about.
Shaping
middle school
minds.
Teacher. So
I tell you, that takes a special kind of person. Middle school's rough.
This show isn't off too far off, too, with the kids' behavior. Tell you what.
Maybe your school hasn't had a full-on karate war yet, but pretty close.
Not yet. It's a little more disturbing in reality. They bring, like, knives to school.
Oh, jeez.
Knives and pepper spray.
Maybe you need to learn a little karate for some self-defense.
Yeah,
right.
Students.
Well, you heard about the TikTok challenge, right? Slap a teacher in the face?
No.
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm kind of wanting it to so I can sue somebody and retire.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've heard about the one about vandalizing school bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing.
There's always a TikTok challenge. TikTok most challenges of it's about fighting.
Fuck with
something
people.
Dumb. Yeah.
There was one, steal something off your teacher's desk. And then I had a stapler go missing.
Oh.
Oh, geez.
So I think somebody got me on that one.
You should, I don't know, have something and stick a rotten egg inside or something.
Rig up a gift like they do with the Amazon packages.
Yeah, glitter bomb.
Boom.
Yep.
You can keep that.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'll go with Terry Silver as my second point, who is interesting. He's been reluctant, but finally he's decided to join Cobra Kai and co-direct the program with Kreese. And I'm like, how come? Why did he do that? Well, first we see his Vietnam flashback that reminds him that Kreese saved his life. And in that moment, he said, anything you want, your whole life, I'm there for you. So I think he's feeling like, well, I did say that. I really don't want to do this, but I owe Kreese. So I think he's resentful when he goes back to Cobra Kai, because it wasn't even clear why he was there or why he took off his shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, are you saying yes or no here? And I mm-hmm. think he's saying, I owe you, but I don't want to. And after the whole thing with the sprinklers, where the Miyagi-Do kids tricked the Cobra Kai to being right. in the field with sprinklers, and mm-hmm. Kreese tells Terry, we need to attack them back. And Terry's like, no, I agreed to come back to do what we originally set out to do, to turn kids into winners, to bring Cobra Kai back to its former glory. We have to learn from our mistakes. You had the entire valley in the palm of your hand. You blew it because of this rivalry with Miyagi. He says, Cobra Kai was never about revenge. It was about building strength by taking your fears and turning them into a weapon. That's what we should focus on. So I think that's what, well, we see in the flashbacks, that's how it started out. He was even hesitant to join Cobra Kai then because his father was going to take away his inheritance. But he didn't explicitly say that, but I think the idea was that he did, because in the next scene in the present, Kreese introduces him as the co-founder of Cobra Kai and that we built this thing from scratch together. So that's what he did. So, but in that flashback, Kreese says, hey, remember, fear does not exist. You can get through anything. You know why? Because you got me. I didn't leave you behind in the war, and I'm not going to leave you behind now. Cobra Kai and Terry's like, never dies. I thought that was a great moment, right? Between the two of them.
Yes.
Which is surprising, but it's typical of this show.
And it explains a lot, too.
What do you mean?
It explains why they're so into this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole Cobra Kai thing. They want to change the world, man.
Yeah. And they're trying to take, I feel like, their shitty Vietnam experience and turn whatever nastiness came out of that into something positive and powerful.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how I felt too. They're trying to like take all the nastiness that was aimed at them.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Turn it around, right?
What I got from the previous episode when, you know, when we got back and everybody was calling us, you know, baby killers and, you know, they wanted to teach them respect, you know.
Right.
But
it's for themselves, too, to take the, because, you know, people came back from Vietnam just with post-traumatic stress and all kinds of stuff and just take that and turn it into something good. And I just loved it that they seemed like two really supportive friends there, and it was touching. And then, you know, it reminded me too, that just him saying that fear does not exist. Well, it's because I've seen Karate Kid 45 times. It's burned into my brain that the first time we see Kreese, he's saying, fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei. Pain does not exist. And so now we see, like, well, I don't know if that's the first time Kreese ever said that, but it was back in the day. It was important to him, which made it more meaningful to me.
The other thing it explained too is his hatred for Miyagi.
Why?
Because Miyagi, you know, kicked his butt, and then he kicked Johnny's butt, and then he said, you know, I could see the fear in Johnny's eyes now.
He took away his
confidence.
Yeah.
You
know?
And that scene
like in Miyagi-Do so much.
Yeah, that's right.
When you see that Miyagi and Kreese in the parking lot, and he makes Kreese punch, well, he doesn't make him, but he dodges, and Kreese punches those cars, and then Miyagi's like, has his hand up like he's gonna chop Kreese's neck and kill him. And Kreese looks really scared.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he goes, "Hark." And then channeling fear into strength is reinforced with Robbie. When Terry goes in and engages Robbie, I was like, oh, now we get to see maybe how Terry actually teaches when he's not secretly trying to torture the student.
Right.
And he was hardcore. He flipped him down, punched him in the stomach, kicked him in the stomach pretty hard.
He still had that shit-eating grin on his face, though.
Yeah, so I wonder about Terry. But he says, you've learned to channel your anger, but you're afraid. If you want to learn to be a champion, you need to dig out that fear and face it, whatever it is. Because if you don't, it's going to hold you back forever. And so all this talk about using your fear and channeling it, that's interesting. I feel like it relates to Karate Kid 3, Terry Silver's movie, maybe, because... first off, Terry and Mike Barnes, the bad boy of karate, it seemed like they were trying to invoke fear a lot. But also on the mat in the tournament at the end, it was about fear. Daniel had been beaten to a pulp, basically, and he's laying on the mat going, "I'm afraid. Let's go. I want to go home." Miyagi's like, "No, you must not. It's okay to lose to an opponent. Must not lose to fear." Daniel says, "Well, I'm afraid of him, all right? What do you want me to do?" And Miyagi says, "You stay focused. Your best karate's still inside you. Now time to let out," which is kind of similar to me to Terry telling Robbie to dig out the fear, you know? I don't know exactly how those two are related, if maybe part of Terry's thing of taking your fear and channeling it out could translate into make the other person afraid of you. I don't really think that's what he's saying here, though. But that's the thing is... young Terry that we saw in flashbacks and modern day older Terry, they seem like nice guys. They're very reasonable. And part of me is like, oh, what happened to the crazy maniacal guy that we saw from Karate Kid 3?
Okay. But I was just going to say, I hope he doesn't go back on coke.
Well, that's maybe, I mean, cause we didn't see what happened to transform him into the Terry Silver that we saw in Karate Kid 3. And I feel like that's a big missing piece that they need to fill in, because if they're going to say, yeah, he was nice when he started out and he's nice now, and he was like this totally other kind of person in Karate Kid 3, we if they're going to bother bringing him back for this, I feel like we need something to fill that in. And maybe it is just the cocaine. And I don't know. It would be weird if he like decides to do coke on this series and suddenly becomes the same like he was back then, you know?
Well, it could have been more, maybe. But the good thing about Cobra Kai is they're really great about flashbacks. If he becomes a more series like regular, I'd say good chance of us getting
some
flashbacks.
So.
Getting a little bit of backstory.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm not sure if I'm, because like I said, I'm disappointed we didn't get the same crazy Terry Silver, but I also like this one more. And so it's hard for me to wish for him to turn into that, you know?
But I feel like a little piece of him, that old Terry, is still there. I mean, when he was fighting with Robbie, I was like, dude.
Right.
I mean, I get you're trying to teach here, but I mean, he was he was really no laying mercy. It on him. And I'm like, there's still just a little bit of that old Terry Silver in there. Maybe he's not cracked or coked out like he was, but I feel like there's just a little bit of him in there.
Then when, you know, he's telling Kreese, "We don't attack, but I didn't say we do nothing." And then they show up at Miyagi-Do and he says, "Gentlemen, it seems we have a few things to discuss." And then all the two confrontations I've been waiting for, Terry and Daniel and Terry and Johnny. And we don't get to see what happens.
Oh my God.
We will in about an hour.
I was going to say, as soon as we wrap here. Yes. We just have to get through this. Yeah, oh my God, I know. That was, But see, that's what I'm saying. And then what does that mean? Well, you know, I didn't say we wouldn't do nothing. So he's, you know, saying, well, we're not going to do this, but we're still going to do something.
Go over and have a nice gentlemanly chat with them and ask them to stop harassing our students.
I feel like that's not what it's going to be.
It could be.
I don't know. Hey, come over to my beachfront mansion. We'll have, you know.
We'll have some tofu.
Some tea. And
stick.
Let's go out into this dark field.
Because if he did say, you know, go over there and ask your Daniel and Johnny's students to stop harassing his students, that would be a mirror image of when Miyagi and
Daniel went.
Yeah, which the show does a lot.
The truce.
Yeah. But they already have this whole thing about the tournament. Yeah. So
I don't know, Jay. I've always been taught that a little bit of fear is healthy.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you don't want to go rushing into stuff. You know,
jumping between roofs.
Yeah, a little fearless. Bit of fear is good.
Richard, you're like, of all my friends, the person who has least lived by that.
Well, I mean, I have fear. I have enough fear for self-preservation.
I saw the mostly. I saw the truck race video. The truck video.
Right. That was. It's funny you say that too, because I was like, "Come on, jump across rooftops, Johnny. That's absurd. Don't do that with kids." That's I would have totally done that back then. When
yeah,
I was a kid.
Right. We jumped off cliffs. We
challenge accepted.
We raced around on in your truck.
Yeah, so I couldn't say much about that.
Like, huh? I mean,
we've just gotten older.
That was kind of ridiculous. Like, what is she, Spider-Man? You know, she's flying across a 10-foot gap there.
Yeah. What is this, parkour?
All right, I think it's your turn, Rima.
Well, my number one was Terry Silver, so I'm just trying to think of what we haven't already mentioned. I did pick up on some different vibes from this modern day Terry Silver versus who we met in the 80s, and the gift that he has now that he didn't have back then is perspective. So I thought that was really interesting. He's like, you know, because Kreese is going off about Miyagi and this old man, and he's like, well, we're the old men now. Let's take that wisdom. And I was like,
we're wise, remember?
Yeah, I was like, this is interesting. This is an interesting Terry Silver. I'm very intrigued about what this means moving forward. And I thought it was interesting he was able to talk Kreese out of repeating their old patterns, because he's like, that didn't work before. You know, we did that, or you did that. It didn't work.
Right.
We've got to try something new, and I'm super curious to see where it goes. And again, just leaving it there at the end of season or the episode four, I was like, oh my god, I have to stop watching. I'm really, really interested, and I'm, you know, curious what you guys think about that, because I don't know, but it's cool to see him this way.
When they were saying like, if we just repeat the same thing, it's just going to go the same way. I kind of thought maybe that's what the writers, when they're like, okay, how should we have this story go? Well, if we just repeat the same thing, it's just going to go the same way. Yeah, have them say that.
Right. I was going to say, that's like verbatim what they were thinking.
Straight out of the writer's room.
Yeah, well, to expand on Terry Silver, I totally love what he's bringing to the show, man. You know, Terry Silver being the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Loud. What the hell, man?
That was events.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was totally unexpected, but I like the way they did that. He says to Kreese, you know, forget the kids. Let's go after Daniel and Johnny, I think is what he's basically saying. I like that, you know. Refreshing dynamic.
Did you say I like that?
What'd you say?
I like that. I like that.
Uh-huh.
It would be so awesome to finally make the adults the focus of the show instead of the kids.
I think they do a pretty good job balancing it out, don't you?
Because when they showed up and they had the confrontation at Miyagi-Do,
I
literally yelled out at the TV. I was like, you jerks! Because I had to wait for a week.
Because a big theme of the movies and the show is, you know, how adults influence kids. You need both. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying get rid of the kids. I just want to shift the focus a little bit more to the adults. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I feel like that sometimes too.
And the writers did a good job with bringing Terry back too. You know, they didn't do it too fast and they didn't do it too slow, so it was boring. They did it just right. I like that it was the creme brulee torch that really got him.
The clicking.
It really triggered.
Yeah, triggered the PTSD.
Click, 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 click. And it was the same actor playing young Terry as last season.
Mm-hmm.
I looked it up.
They did a good job with those two actors.
Yeah.
They had some mannerisms.
And if you remember last season, they were trying to trick us into thinking it was one of the other guys.
That
and
other
he got,
guy.
He got killed because he had a ponytail.
Yep.
I had a note when the Silver and Kreese were in the dojo talking about, no, let's not make the same mistakes. If you listen to the kids in the background, I think it was Kyler, he's like, we got to hit them back with a home invasion, man. They hit us with sprinklers.
Hit them back with a home invasion.
I'm like, nice setup.
That's hilarious.
Oh, that Kyler kid. He's been getting on my nerves since season one.
But we need a kid like him.
I know. He's necessary, but he's very effective because he definitely grates my nerves.
Yeah.
He's a dork.
Okay. That was your first last one, right? So it's my turn. Okay. I'm going to do my whole callbacks and references thing, but some of them I'm going to have you guys guess what it refers to.
Like, oh, shoot. Quiz. Trivia.
Yeah. So Miguel falls into the pond and Daniel says, looks like you're a little wet behind the ears. What's that from?
A little wet behind the ears.
I don't remember that line, but I remember Daniel falling off the boat.
That's it.
Okay.
And Miyagi goes, ha-ha, Daniel-san, you all wet behind ears.
Okay.
Good. This one I won't do as a trivia. I'll do like a few different ones. But Kreese says to his students, as you know, our enemies are working together. They're combining their styles to beat us, but they are destined to fall because there's only one way. And what is that way? And they say, the way of the fist, sir. Which in Karate Kid, he said, what do we study here? The way of the fist, sir. And what is that way? Strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
Nice.
This one's probably too hard too. So Kenny shows up to Cobra Kai and asks for Robbie, and Kreese says, Mr. Keen, you have a visitor, which is like when Daniel and Miyagi went to see Johnny at the dojo in Karate Kid, and Kreese said, class, we have visitors. And then Kreese invited Daniel to get on the mat and take care of his problems with Johnny right there. But Mr. Miyagi said, too much advantage, your dojo. What about Kenny backing off the mat so much? Do you remember
that
anything?
Was like,
I found that to be funny. I remember Daniel doing that did it at in the tournament. Right?
Yeah. But I think he only did it once or twice or maybe just once, but, or maybe twice. Yeah. But Kenny, even when he came back his second time, he did it again.
Yeah.
He did it a lot. Like,
dude.
He is pretty small.
What about when Robbie said to Kenny, always look your opponent in the eye?
Miyagi told that to Daniel. Whenever he'd bow, he goes, no. Always look
whack
opponent
him on
in the
head.
Eye. Yeah, he'd
always
whack him
look
on the
eye.
Head. Yeah.
It was funny when Daniel tells Miguel how his mom saved and scrimped for his college, and then he blew it on a flight to Okinawa, which is more expensive the day before. And then he won that in an ice-breaking contest and blew it all on the bonsai store. And as far as, I don't think we know for sure whether the bonsai store was successful, but it seems like not, because Daniel here says, don't even ask.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't.
Didn't want to talk about it.
And then he never went to college. He says, I never went to college, which in Karate Kid 3, when one way that he got Mr. Miyagi to agree to take his money was, he said, I'll go later, I promise. But he never did. We see young Terry looking in the mirror at his new Cobra Kai tattoo, and he goes, cool, I like it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the beginning.
Yeah. I'll say it again. If you guys listening are into the show and just never got around to watching Karate Kid 3, it would be good to watch it just to fully appreciate his character.
Yes.
I thought it was neat that young Kreese entered the newly formed Cobra Kai into the very first All Valley Under 18 karate tournament. So it went way back to the like 70s or whatever. Okay, this is one I don't know if you'll get. It's a little harder. In the high school bathroom, Hawk tells Kenny, you should get out of Cobra Kai while you still can because they're about to go down. And then as he and Nate and Bert are leaving, one of those guys says, I think he's going to cry.
Was that?
That one of the
only remember one bathroom scene. That was the with the shower curtain thing. And he put the hose and squirted.
Not
Johnny.
That one.
No.
Was that when the Cobra? Oh, and I don't remember what scene. It feels like it was one of the scenes where they were they did something to Daniel, and I can't remember what it was, and they yelled, oh, it looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah, I mean, it was and at the tournament when he was in the locker room getting ready, and Dutch came in and said, hello, Daniel, what's the matter? Mommy's not here to dress you. And then he goes, points or no points, you're dead meat. And then the ref was like, get out of here. And then Tommy, the same one who said, get him a body bag, goes, way to go, I think he's going to cry.
I feel like it was the same voice of the get him a body bag, get a body bag. Yeah. Right. Very reminiscent.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can hear that.
This one I kind of love because Daniel tells Miguel that he caught his mom on a date with Mr. Harris, his history teacher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is that the same one? And it is. In Karate Kid, he's at school in the courtyard. He asks Ellie, hey, what are you doing Friday night? You know, let's go out. So they make a date. And then she leaves and he sees Johnny and the other Cobra Kai coming towards him. And then to distract or, you know, handle the situation, he goes, because the teacher's walking by, he goes, Mr. Harris, can I talk to you? LaRusso third period history class, I wanted to tell you, I really got a lot out of that lecture about how the Indian got the horse. It was great. I was telling my buddies about it, but I kind of messed it up. So I was wondering if you could give us a quick review. And they're all like, oh, we got to go. Sorry. And then the teacher puts his arm around Daniel and goes, well, that just leaves me and you, LaRusso, but that's all right. Yeah, I'll explain it to you. And you could pass the information on to your friends. And he's this like balding, you know, boring looking dude who apparently dated Daniel's mom after that.
Nice. Gotta get Daniel into college.
Right. He said he got an A, right? He said he gave him an A.
Right.
When Daniel is having Miguel start his mom's car, that reminded me of him starting the car that Miyagi gave him. And when he gets in and he tells Miguel, okay, let's go. And Miguel says, what? I don't know how to drive a car. That's like when Miyagi had Daniel drive his truck to the dojo to talk to Kreese. He goes, you know how to drive? And Daniel goes, yeah, I do. And he hands him the keys and he goes, oh, no, I'm not very good at it. And Miyagi says, me neither. Well, I don't have a license. Me neither.
Me neither.
Well, I guess it's okay then. and then Daniel said to Miguel, I suggest you back us out nice and slow. And that's like when he was with Allie, let her drive his new car and he goes, let it out slow. And she's all, this is awesome. How fast does it go? And he goes, let's not find out. there was a bunch of them. Let's see. What was this one? Okay. This is a good one for you guys. Robbie is talking to Kenny. He says, over at Miyagi-Do, I was taught you can learn all the moves, but none of that matters unless you have balance. And then Terry Silver walks in and Robbie's like, it's a Cobra Kai lesson. I was just using Miyagi-Do. And Silver's like, it's okay. Balance is crucial. A man can't stand. He can't fight.
Oh, that's from Karate Kid 3. That's what he tells Daniel.
Yeah. Mm. He tells him that right before
he's torturing him.
Torturing him. Yeah. Have him kick that hard wood.
Yep.
To teach him to sweep the leg, but really just to fuck with him.
Yep.
When Johnny tells Robbie he doesn't know the whole story about Cobra Kai, Robbie says, I know enough, but I think Johnny's thinking, Kreese tried to kill me in the parking lot after a tournament. You know, yeah. If he knew that, maybe it would change his mind. The whole sprinklers on the baseball diamond. And Johnny says, so you picked a fight, didn't show up, and then you doused him with the hose? Mm-hmm. You just poked the bear.
Yeah.
Karate Kid when exactly. Daniel hosed him when Johnny was getting ready to blaze up in the bathroom. Right.
Which I agree.
Yeah.
He totally poked the bear.
He totally poked the bear. Daniel's what did he expect?
No, they're just applying what they've learned.
Yeah, and Daniel, yeah, he's proud of it. And I'm like, dude, you never learn. See, he wasn't perfect. Yeah. That was like his biggest thing. But Johnny says, what do you think they're just gonna leave well enough alone? Which is what he also said when the Cobra Kai in their skeleton costumes were beating the shit out of Daniel, you just couldn't leave well enough alone, could you? Well, now you're going to pay.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they show up.
Yeah. And Johnny knows that's what he was taught. That was what he was taught in Cobra Kai, and that's what they're passing on.
He knows. Yeah. Yeah, you do that shit, you're going to get it. And Daniel should know that too. Robbie says to Miguel, you remember what happened last time we fought, right? That was Miguel ending up in the hospital at the end of season 2.
I keep forgetting that. I keep forgetting he like broke his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like so long ago.
And then the last thing in the whole callbacks and references is I just love how they had Terry Silver with his long flowing hair, not in a ponytail like before. So he looks like this hippie that he's become, kind of this liberal elite. Then when he switches back to old Terry Silver and puts it in a ponytail, he looks like the good old cocaine addled toxic sludge dumping Terry Silver that we know.
That was awesome.
That was so
like
cool.
Just that act. It was like Vader putting on his helmet. Right.
Yes. It's like his Sylvester turn. Stallone flipping the hat backwards in over the top.
I thought you were going to do a Rambo, but that's good too.
Right. Yeah, that's right with the headband.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that was the best. The red
is turned
torn
the
from his that woman's
complete.
Dress. Puts it on his head, and then he kills everyone.
Right.
Yep.
That's badass. That came out right around the same time as Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
Rambo Part 2. Okay, what about notes?
I wonder if Daniel could beat Rambo.
I'd say no.
Probably not.
Just knife him, huh?
John Rambo's pretty badass. You gotta stop messing with those Vietnam vets. Well, you mentioned the sprinkler thing. That was definitely, I thought, a good callback that kind of triggered Johnny a little bit there. We mentioned Miguel's dad. Do we think he might show up later this
I do
season?
Now that they keep mentioning it.
Yeah, that they mentioned it. Yeah.
And maybe it is Terry Silver. I felt like that would be a little too soap opera, too much of a coincidence, but it's a comedy show. They might do it.
Yeah.
God, how would they do that, though? Wait, I'm your father.
No!
Or if not this season, then like maybe next. Maybe they're just kind of setting that stage a little bit. Like we need to play
this
story out.
They've already filmed
season
5, so.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. I'm curious about that. So I don't know that we've already talked about all my other notes. That was really the only thing was curious if Miguel's dad would maybe show up either this season or next. So I don't know.
Maybe
that's
it'll
all
be
I got.
Sylvester Stallone. That'd be awesome.
Oh my God, I would die.
Hey, kid.
Yo.
Rich.
Notes?
Yep.
I really enjoyed the opening sequence to, I think it was episode 3. And, you know, Johnny's drinking beer when Daniel's trying to get everybody to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, grabs Daniel's food with his hands. Daniel tries the ham sandwich. I like the back and forth, you know, where they're legit trying to get along.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them working together. And they're out on that sparring mat that's made just like the ancient Miyagi one, doing some pretty cool looking karate moves and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, hey, they're getting pretty good I guess after 4 years of actually practicing, they're starting to get pretty good. Kicks are getting higher, faster, stronger.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun. And then Johnny did the crane.
Yes.
Yes, the crane.
Daniel, that was great. He's like, why? Daniel just walks
up. Yeah, he's like, what's up? I wondered if William Zabka had improvised that because it really looked in the moment like it caught, you know,
like
you off guard.
Like, I love that.
That would makes it even better
that
if he did.
That was the best.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite moment of all of these two episodes.
That was so
you
good.
You won with one little kick. Yep.
Yep. An illegal move.
You guys notice the on the side of Johnny's minivan, he put on
the eagle fang. The
eagle fang
on his little...
I was like, wow, that was well done, too. He spent some money on that.
Say, the paint job probably cost more than the car's worth.
That's hilarious.
Well, being that he stole the car, right?
No, yeah, that's true.
I wonder, because the show's called Cobra Kai, and so it's interesting that Johnny now is Eagle Fang. I wonder if Johnny will get Cobra Kai back at some point. I bet he does.
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah, good point. Mm. Kreese said at one point, I think it was the first time, Terry came to see him in the dojo and not sure why he was there, but Kreese said, you're just an old man in the last chapter of his life, clinging to some bullshit happy ending. I was like, oh man, that's harsh.
I know.
Yeah.
Now that I've got fewer years in front of me than behind me, I'm like, that hurts a little
bit. Yeah, and that's another thing about this show. It's a good time for it to come out because when we were kids, you know, I've said a couple times in this episode, it's about adults and their influence on kids. And we took the kids' perspectives. But now that we're older and so are the kids, but they are now the parents, you know? And just like Daniel, like I didn't have a father figure and now I have to try to be a good, good role model. So I identify with his struggles there.
I know. I'm going to have to go ask my daughters after this if I'm being a good dad.
Yeah, you're a good dad.
You're a good dad. Having my doubts.
At Chris, you know, talking to Chris, it's like a roller coaster ride, man. He's a master manipulator. He'll
just pull out
insult you right to your face, and then follow that up with like a serious, heartfelt compliment. Like he tells Terry, you know, there's no one in the world I trust more than you. I mean, that's pretty pretty serious. Yeah, you know?
And I believe it too.
Yeah, you just said I'm an old man with a bullshit happy life, and now you're telling me you trust me more than anybody else in the world.
Like, Jesus, he knows how to get to people's weaknesses.
He does. Yeah. He's really good at pinpointing that and using it depending on who he's talking to. I think I mentioned that in the last podcast that he, depending on who he's talking to, whether it's Daniel, Amanda, or whoever, he knows how to get straight to that person and hit that button and manipulate. He is really good at that.
It's a snake.
Yeah.
What do you think about Johnny and Carmen? Rima, do you have any thoughts about them? Because I was like, oh yeah, they're getting together. That might affect... I don't know how that would affect Miguel.
I don't. Well, yeah, because you know he's worried about that relationship that he feels he's kind of losing Miguel a little bit to Daniel. And he was definitely, you know, Miguel was talking about Allie in the other episodes, one of the first two episodes, and kind of thinking, you know, oh hey, maybe there's something going on there. I don't know how he's going to feel about, like, you know, his. You know, Johnny, his sensei, one of his senseis, you know, dating his mom. It was funny, you know, Johnny's Googling, how do I tell my students I'm banging their mom? He's worried about it.
He didn't get the right answer, did he?
Nope.
Daniel's kind of inadvertently priming Miguel to be upset about this, too, by talking about his history teacher that got with his own mom and says, talk about awkward. So yeah. I feel like, but when I first saw Carmen trying to tell Johnny, you know, it's okay to tell him, and saw that Johnny was like, I don't know if that'll mess things up. And she goes, okay, well, you just tell him when you're ready. I just thought that was really cool of Carmen. And I think the clear thing to do is to tell him. Don't hide it from him. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, it'll just.
But you understand why he doesn't want to.
Yeah, but still,
when his mom told him about Sid, he flipped out.
Well, he ought to say something because it's affecting his performance.
I didn't think about that. You're
absolutely
right.
So he needs to say something.
But that echoed what happened to Johnny in his past, where his mom told him about Sid and he went running back to his dad's stuff or whatever.
That part I got. But I mean, Miguel's way older.
Yeah, and he's also more level-headed. I mean, also, Johnny's not Sid.
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he's not like an abusive asshole.
Maybe he sees himself.
Yeah. He's kind of abusive, like, but he's fun.
He's in a fun way.
In a fun way.
He's a fun guy. Way more fun.
And then
but Miguel loves him. You know, he looks up to him. I think there's a chance he could actually be stoked, except that for the show, they like to make things dramatic. So maybe not.
I bet it would feel to probably start dramatic.
You got to color it gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right in that scene when they're in bed, they had the big discussion about Top Gun. That was hilarious. You can't call yourself a maverick.
You know what?
Because he got his partner killed too. That's not cool.
Yeah, R.I.P. Goose.
It is absolutely makes sense that Johnny would be an Iceman fan over Maverick.
Yes. Iceman, abs for days.
Because Daniel is Maverick. Well, not really, but Johnny's definitely more of an Iceman.
That's hilarious. The last note I have was seeing Silver and Kreese on the mat together. I thought that was pretty powerful when he finally came out after he was introduced as one of the founding members of Cobra Kai, and they were standing there together on the mat. And I was like, whoa.
Whoa, yeah. Now,
hey, one thing you can say about Cobra Kai is they certainly present a united front, you know, like powerful. And then, you know, then they flip over to Miyagi-Do and it's all drama and confusion.
Right.
Yeah. So, I like that too. That was a great
scene. It was intimidating,
scene.
I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Those
plus Silver is a big dude, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They definitely present an intimidating front there. So, yeah, I thought that was great. Great visual seeing them two there on the mat in their black geese.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah, that does it.
I love Daniel and Miguel listening to Sailing Take Me Away by Christopher Cross. That's the song, right?
Mm-hmm. Christopher Cross.
And of course, Daniel mentioned Chicago because Peter Cetera, who was the lead singer of Chicago, did Glory of Love.
At one time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which
was the big song with Karate Kid 2 that shot it into the stratosphere, huge mm-hmm. number one hit right. on the Billboard charts.
Good song.
And then
he mentioned Billy Joel
too. Because Johnny loves, Daniel's into the mellow stuff, Michael McDonald, Billy Joel, Chicago, and Johnny mentions Scorpions and Slaughter. And I like it all, right? I like it all.
Yeah, you got to have all of it.
Yeah. I'm a little more on Daniel's side, I guess. Billy Joel is the best, but I like Scorpions too. They're awesome.
I never paid much attention to Billy Joel in the 80s, but in the early 90s, I went to see one of his concerts and it was like freaking awesome. I mean, there was like fire coming out of the stage. His piano was flying through the air on cables. And, you know, he improvised like almost all of his music because he's an awesome musician. And I was just like, I became a fan after that.
That's cool. Awesome. I would love to see Billy Joel. I haven't, but I'm a fan too. I grew up on Billy Joel back when I was a kid. That makes me sound really old. But yeah, I bet he puts on a damn good show.
He did.
Awesome.
Let's see. I had a bunch of funny situations and lines, but I think we've gone through a lot of it. When Johnny says, When an eagle's hungry, it doesn't hesitate. It'll dive down at 100 miles an hour to snatch its prey. It doesn't wait around for a fish to jump in its feet. Dimitri says, talons. It's not talent. It's instinct.
Dimitri, that was pretty funny when Johnny dressed him up like a punching bag.
Yeah. It kicks him in the balls and then says, what do you got? Something about. Tighten your core.
Right.
Good job. Tighten your core.
Yeah. Later on, he's like, you all right?
Yeah, I think they're coming back to their original color.
Samantha said to Johnny, my dad wouldn't want us doing this. Johnny, oh, give me a break. You do everything your mommy and daddy tell you to. If they told you to jump off a bridge, would you? You're telling me to jump off a building. Yeah, onto another building. Anthony says to Johnny, what the hell are you doing here? I was invited. Who the hell are you? Wait, are you the son? What'd you do? Switch to Whopper Juniors? It's called a growth spurt. Dipshit. Still a piece of crap. I liked how they said the last two under their breath. But I love that Johnny noticed Anthony lost weight like we all did.
Mm-hmm. Or still a piece of crap.
Still a piece of crap.
So I guess Anthony was just there to introduce Kenny, huh? I guess he's not going to be a part of that whole shebang.
I feel like that story is not over.
Yeah.
No, because the reason Kenny is taking karate is to deal with Anthony and his friends.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think that's going to, once he gets a little bit more experience in Cobra Kai, I feel like that's going to come back around again. Yeah, yeah.
How do I tell my students that I'm banging his mom while this porn comes up? I like they have a little thing with Nate and Bert, the two like skinniest kids. They're talking about how this one girl, Bert, says, yeah, we had a moment together, Lexi, somebody
or
other.
Oh, right.
I know, she's a total jilf. What's that? A junior I'd like to... Whoa! They see Kenny
come in.
Then I just thought it was good to see those two hanging out because they were the enemies in the karate war.
It, like just a couple of years ago when they were half their size.
Yeah, right.
How short the
growth spurt. And then later Nate says, so Lexi wants me to send pictures. And Bert's like, dude, I think you're being catfished. And he goes, that's a risk I'm willing to take. So I feel like that's a little like side story that's going to keep playing out.
I giggled a bit when Daniel was teaching Miguel how to drive and he sped up when the light turned yellow.
Yeah.
Because I do that all the time.
I mean... To me, it's like people say red light or yellow light means slow down. No, it means speed up. I'm like, no, it means you judge based on how far you are from the line, whether you should slow down or speed up.
It means you're being timed on how quickly you can get through the intersection.
We didn't really talk about this, but it was kind of a clever thing how they made us think that Tori got a job as a stripper.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Right.
I was like, dude, she's not even 18.
Yeah. And then she's there in the dressing room with this sleazy guy saying, come on, girls. And they go out and she's a mermaid.
They're all getting primped up and you're like, oh man, are they going to pole dance? And then it's a kid's party. And you're like, oh,
that's adorable.
I think we were catfished.
And then the whole thing about, I kind of liked how, were you hoping to see something? I kind of liked how they had, you know, Hawk, was it Hawk? No, not Hawk. Kyler. I didn't like that he was being such a dick having Kenny order all that stuff. But then I did kind of like how Robbie was like, yeah, get me a Butterfingers too. That was cute. But then he comes back with all that stuff in his hands and Hawk bumped into him and knocked it all out. And I'm like, dude, that's like probably more than $100 worth of food.
A lot of money. That's what I thought too. What a waste of food.
Yeah. Waste of food. I didn't like that. That's all I got.
Awesome. Boy, there's a lot of stuff in these two episodes.
I know, huh?
It's a lot. They chock them full of lots of things.
They sure do.
Lots of details.
I know.
Oh, no.
I mean, I think it's because it's like a comedy. They're denser. You get these little hits of dopamine every, like, second. Bzz, bzz, yeah. Something new.
Yeah.
They are very dense.
I guess. But yeah.
There's a lot of material to draw from, too.
Yeah.
Yep, that's for sure.
All right. That was really fun. We'll take a little break. There is more to come. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's time for some news.
All right. There was an interview with Ralph Macchio with The Hollywood Reporter, and I just took, you can read the entire thing if you want to go look it up, but, you know, I just took a little piece of that I thought was kind of interesting. They start off, they say, you've been critical of Part 3 in the past in reference to Karate Kid 3. They said, do you still feel that way, or have you re-examined it after this season of Cobra Kai with the return of Terry Silver? Ralph Macchio says, I was not a fan of how the Karate Kid 3 came out. I felt the story was only repeating itself and was not character forwarding for the end of LaRusso. And production-wise, it was being written one way and then changed another way. It was not a smooth ride. In the end, there were parts of the character that I didn't embrace as well as I did with the original and the first sequel. I don't put it on the top of my resume. However, it informs Cobra Kai going forward, clearly with season 4. It gives us so much story. And what is so wonderful about doing the Cobra Kai series, the creators find ways to take that story and let it evolve and find backstories for characters who might have been thinly written. He said there's a larger-than-life element to Cobra Kai. When you break it down, it's kind of ridiculous, but that's why it's so much fun. So you take a character like Terry Silver for the show, with whose larger-than-life elements and his relationship with Daniel, then add those layers of complexity to his evilness, and now it becomes a refined performance. On top of that, from the perspective of Daniel as an adult, now we're adding other stakes and elements about his own kids and students. It's remarkable that what I would call the shortcomings of the original franchise are now bearing fruit 36 years later.
Wow, that was very eloquent.
That's
yeah. Good. Yeah.
That was a good last line.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I'm glad he didn't say, oh yeah, I've rethought it and I like it now. He was very honest and I agree with the things that he said. No, it's not a great movie, but it's fun to see them make hay out of it now.
Yeah, absolutely. He's on point. They also, one more little thing that they asked, he said, in my opinion, you're the Karate Kid gatekeeper. How much do you pitch for the overall story and do you interject when something feels off? And he laughs and says, there's no lack of me interjecting. He said, there is that push and pull at times, but that collaboration makes for a better project.
Interesting.
This is the creators. Yeah. He said, this is the creators and writers show. I will pitch at the beginning of each season what I would like to see for Daniel or overall. And the creators are the tiebreaker. but from script to script, if I see something, I say something. This character is very precious to me, but he is so precious to me that I need someone to oversee the entire painting and not just the colors I represent. The writers and creators have earned that and deserve that, so that is how we move forward. At the end of the day, no one knows better than them where it is going and what they want.
Now that's interesting. Mm-hmm. He makes a pitch on where he wants to see his character go, because sometimes mm-hmm. they make him out to be a dick.
Yeah, well, I respect that because yeah. actors who just want to be look good, I don't like that. I like it when an actor right. will purposefully want to play flaws, you know, and hopefully that's what he's doing. And that's not the part he's arguing about. They're insisting or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a feeling he enjoys it.
I think so.
He knows Daniels. Like that. Like I was going to say in the whole thing about absent fathers and people who are unsupportive, the opposite of that can be overbearing and helicopter parents and moralizing. And that's where he goes a little wrong. And so it's interesting that where he's texting Samantha, don't do anything I wouldn't do. That's really what pushes her to do it. Mm-hmm. It's Daniel, you know, that's where he goes wrong, is just being too, full of himself, holier than thou, and controlling people and stuff like that.
Yeah, that wasn't the best phrasing. They used a lot of texts too. I like how they integrate the texts into the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's all I have for news.
Cool. Let's do listener feedback. Rima?
Okay. First one is from Jonathan Bukalil. He says, is Samantha the true supervillain of Cobra Kai? She causes most of the trouble and can impossibly leap tall buildings in a single bound. Did you like that, Rich?
Awesome. Man, that's a good summary. Barry Evitz writes, I enjoyed these episodes, but I do feel that Johnny was out of line asking those kids to jump from one building to the other. And Samantha surprised me doing the 180 and going through with it. I actually felt for Tori at the mermaid party. She really tried to be the bigger person when Samantha was razzing her at her job. Samantha really came across as petty and childish. Hopefully she grows up a bit as the season progresses. Again, agreed.
Dabolino Bob Grippy says, T.S., meaning Terry Silver, is the man. Without him on the show, it would have been a 6 out of 10 sort of season that was more likely to be predictable and repetitive. Try not to miss the mattresses rolling on the floor laughing 30 feet down, as if that's actually really your fall. I don't really know exactly what it means there, but I get the idea.
I don't think it would actually break your fall.
Yeah.
Nope. Louise Crisp says, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this show. It's my favorite show on TV at the moment. Looking forward to your podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Glad you're digging it. Two calls. Here's Mike Caruso.
Hey, Jason, Rima, and Richard. It's Mike from Cincinnati. I just finished episode 4, and I feel really bad for this Kenny character. He gets bullied everywhere he goes by pretty much everybody. He gets bullied by Danny's asshole son and his friends. He gets bullied by, the random Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang characters that he runs into at the bathroom and at the movie theater. And he gets bullied by his own team members at Cobra Kai in that Kyler asshole. Really just kind of sucks to watch. I feel bad for him a little bit. I hope his story gets a little bit better. Other than that, I really love what they're doing with Terry Silver. I mean, he was always kind of a weird character in part 3 of Karate Kid, but there's a really real moral gray area, I feel like, or maybe not moral gray area, but there's like a super gray area with what he's trying to do. And it's kind of hard to figure out, and I really dig it. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with it. So also looking forward to hearing your guys' podcast. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks. Don't worry, Mike. Cobra Kai will turn Kenny into an asshole in no time.
I feel exactly the same way, Mike. I feel kind of like, God, let's get this kid some wins here. Because as I said last time, I think he seems like a really great kid. And I like what the actor's doing. And yeah, he's just getting shit everywhere he goes. You're right. So,
I agree.
It'll be interesting to
That's
see what
a good
happens.
Voicemail, Mike.
But I think Robbie, it is interesting to see his relationship with Robbie. So that was cool. All right.
Yep.
Here's Steve Brown.
Right. Hello, Jason, Rima, and Rich. I'm assuming all three of you are there again. I just finished the podcast for episodes 1 and 2, and now it's time for episode 3 and 4. This is Steve. And, oh, another great soundtrack moment. He's drinking a beer while they're meditating. Nice quick moves from Daniel. They're catching the bottle cap in the air. So they're giving us some layers to Terry Silver with the PTSD. Wet behind the ears, just like what Mr. Miyagi said to Daniel. It's not talent, it's instinct. How elaborate did that prank have to be to get fill a kid's locker with milk, seal it, so that when he opens it, that's crazy. I love Daniel kind of breaking down Karate Kid 2 and 3 real quick here in this scene with Miguel. Oh no, I hope this does not go badly for Sam. Oh, she made it. Young Terry Silver, look at the tattoo, just said, I like it. Oh, he's putting the hair in the ponytail. Terry Silver's coming back. Bonding with Miguel right in front of Johnny. Uh-oh. All right, episode 4. They remove anything that could possibly be a weapon because of the karate incident. Oh, just kicked him in the nads. Oh. I have no comment about this scene with Johnny and Miguel's mom in bed. I don't know how Rima's going to react to this Johnny Lawrence breaking down Top Gun. Oh, that won't help the relationship with Tori and seeing her. Were they mermaids at the birthday party? Oh, I don't think he's going to do the Quicksilver method. Please don't. A man can't stand, a man can't fight. Wow, I got a little choked up there in that scene, that flashback of Johnny with his mom. Not just thinking about the scene itself, but remembering Ed Asner and how we're not going to have him in this season. Oh, come on, Sam. You're just pouring salt in the wound here. Oh, Bloodsport, classic Van Damme. Love Dimitri. Not another rumble. Oh, they're going to escalate things. That was pretty funny, though, the water sprinklers of the baseball diamond. Okay, I'm not sure how much I buy this, calm and collected Terry Silver. I need the coked up revenge head seeking Terry Silver. Conversation's going to be good. Can't wait for next week.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned Bloodsport. God, yeah, I forgot to mention right, that. Yeah. I love that freaking movie so much. I can't tell you how much I used to watch it.
They're
still
going
to
old school, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Classic.
Classic.
I just showed Nico The Matrix last night. I hadn't seen it in a long time, but...
Oh, watched what did it together. He liked it. Kung Fu?
Yeah. Cool. I had actually had shown him those Kung Fu scenes before, just trying to get him pumped on his, because he takes Kung Fu, but not the whole movie. And yeah, he goes, yeah, that was pretty good.
Awesome.
Oh,
just don't
excellent.
Show him the latest one, yeah.
I won't show him any other ones. They all sucked. All right. That is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to write in or record a message, send it in, you can email us at talk@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah. Rima and Paik are about to wrap up Dexter for the finale, which we will not spoil here, but...
If
you've seen it, you want to hear a discussion about it, you should definitely check them out over at Strange Indeed.
Thanks.
And this week's Yellow Jacket was insane. I'm kind of bummed I don't get to be on the podcast for that this week, but it was so crazy.
It was interesting.
And then we liked Boba Fett, me and Chris and Eric. We liked this week's quite a lot. Pretty cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
I like the first episode, so I'm anxious to watch the second one.
Next episode of Cobra Kai will be seasons 4, episodes 5 and 6, Match Point, and Kicks Get Chicks.
Kicks Get Chicks. Uh-oh.
Nice.
Is that a Johnny-ism?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure Daniel didn't say that. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
I like that! I like that!
Ha 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 ha!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.